Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When you want to cross a river, you look for the place where the tributary drops down from the ridges. Silt is deposited there, making the river shallower. That's where the river crossings happen all through the Old Testament. There at the fords, those shallower parts of the river. It's where Joshua and company prepare to cross the river today. But on that day, the river was up at flood stage, and bridges would not be built until Roman times. When the river was at its normal height, a river crossing might be 3 to 4 feet deep. Challenging, but doable. But at harvest time, with snow melting from the elevations of Mount Hermon, the river was up at flood stage, the Jordan's waters flowing over its banks, just as the text says. At this point of crossing, at this time of the year, the river would have been 10 to 12 feet deep and 140 feet wide. It is not a good time to cross over the river. But it gets worse. Israel's enemies were all around: the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. It's not a good idea to cross a river with your enemies all around. At least that's what the war theorists will tell you. Karl von Clausewitz, the Prussian general who wrote a treatise on war that is still read in war colleges today, puts it this way. A large river which crosses the direction of the attack is always very inconvenient for the assailant. Without a decided superiority, both in moral and physical force, a general will not place himself in such a position. The mud on the banks of the Jordan could get so bad this time of year, it could suck a horse down to its knees. It was not a good time to cross over. And then there was the current. More than one explorer had complained about the violent currents that made crossing the Jordan River very dangerous. That dreaded current could draw even the best of swimmers out to the center of the river, away from the banks and downstream to who knows where. The book of 1 Chronicles even records the name of some warriors who made it across. Crossing at flood stage was heroic, worthy of remembrance. This was not an easy time to cross over. But then again, Israel has done this thing before. God has already parted the Red Sea coming out of Egypt. It's basically a rehash of an earlier miracle. And from Joshua's point of view, I bet it's kind of a bummer. All God can come up with is one of these miracle hand-me-downs. Can't God come up with something more than a repeat miracle? It's a letdown to celebrate the thing that you've already done before. A subtle suggestion that God's biggest miracles have already happened. That your best years are actually behind you, that there may be nothing new under the sun. It's a letdown to arrive at the conclusion that the best miracles that we can conjure up are just rehashes of the ones that have already happened. Repeat miracles can be a drag on morale. Just look at the church, with our congregations declining, our buildings crumbling, and many closing. when what some of us can most celebrate are buildings that used to tower above the skyline and pews that used to swell with people and power that used to have more of a voice. Just look at our city, whose elders of all races talk about the good old days of the steel mills when living wage work wasn't confined to the formally educated. When Pennsylvania Avenue was the thriving cultural center of the African American community instead of the best place to sling drugs. When Baltimore was known as a capital of the nation instead of Bodymore, Murderland. And I suspect that there are some among us who face a similar depressing outlook on our own lives, remembering a relationship that used to be strong, remembering a financial situation that used to be more manageable, remembering a life that used to be good. It is a letdown only to be able to celebrate the miracles of the past. It hurts morale to realize that your best years are probably behind you. It makes it hard to drag yourself to the present when what seems the most fulfilling was somewhere back in the past. And yet, this repeat miracle at the banks of the Jordan is also very different from what has gone on before. The Israelites crossing the Red Sea were moving from slavery to liberation, from captivity to freedom. The Israelites crossing over the Jordan are moving from landlessness to landedness, from promise to fulfillment, from being a wandering people to a more settled one. The movement is the same. Across a river that is difficult, if not impossible, to cross safely, but the departure points, the destinations, and the landmarks are all very different. They are not the same. It's important to understand those distinctions and not to get them confused. Because if you are an Israelite standing on the banks of the Jordan, looking for Red Sea landmarks, you are going to get yourself into trouble. The landmarks that saved the previous generations, the shores that welcomed the previous generations, the signs that guided the previous generations, those landmarks are not there for you. The terrain is different. The landmarks are different. The departure points and the destinations, they are all very different. You can pray for the same movements of the past, from danger to safety, from risk to promise, from despair to hope, but you've got to look for different landmarks than the ones that led your ancestors to safety. And yet, that's the mindset that too many of our churches are bringing to the dangerous currents that are afoot among us. We keep looking for the landmarks of the past. We wade into the waters and think if we just resurrect the Sunday school programs of the past that saved our grandparents' generation, surely that will lead us to safer shores. If we just resurrect the music programs of our parents' generation, surely that will lead us to safer shores. If we just resurrect the chaplaincy pastorates of the past, surely that will lead us to safer shores. It is a similar mindset that we sometimes face in our public life together. If we just bring back the stop and frisk policies rooted in racial inequality, that will solve our current crime problems. If we just bring back big coal, that will somehow solve our jobs problems without creating new ones. If we just bring back the 1950s religious values, that will magically solve the entrenched unemployment and poverty that is feeding our drug economy. You cannot get across the Jordan by looking for Red Sea landmarks. You can't get to the promised land if you are looking for a way to get into the wilderness. We can't follow those landmarks. The terrain is different. We don't get to cross the Red Sea at the point where our ancestors crossed it. We don't get to cross the Jordan at the point where our ancestors crossed it. We have to face the rivers in our own lives, in our own times. We have to face the dangers in our own time. We have to cross uncharted waters at flood stage when it is not a good time to cross. If you want to know how to cross those waters, the best thing to bring forward from the past is not maps of the people who went before you, but their faith. The faith of a people who trusted that God was capable of making insurmountable rivers passable. The faith of a people who trusted that God was capable of giving them superiority and overcoming the enemies of God in their time. The faith of a people who trusted in the God of crossing over. And living that faith in our time is a hard thing to do because you have to commit to crossing the waters. Uncertainty will kill you in these raging waters. You have to commit to those 10 to 12 foot waters, trusting that God is somehow going to make a way. You have to commit yourself to the crossing before you know how you're going to get to the other side. You have to put your whole self into that dangerous river, crossing at a time when even the wisest of generals recommend staying at home because it is not a good time to cross a river. Living that faith is hard, which is probably why so many churches decide to stay on what looks like the safety of the shore. It's too dangerous to call on the power of God in the presence of our public life, not at this time in America when everything is partisan and everything is politicized. It is too dangerous to call on the power of God to change the world and risk upsetting our shrinking list of church donors. It's too dangerous to call on the power of God because the power of God might not be there. And without the power of God, we will certainly be overcome by the waters. But don't you know that the only real purpose of the church is to shape a people who are willing to attempt that crossing? God didn't call a people only to have them stand still on the shores. Standing still might appear to be safe to some, but it's always a death wish for the people of God. The movement of the people. This is the repeat miracle of God, the power of God to give a people what they need to cross on over. That is the repeat miracle. And Brown Memorial has seen that kind of movement before. We made it in 1963 when the church crossed the river for racial integration, and the church was pruned, and God gave us new life. We've seen that movement in 1980 when we crossed the river to declare our commitment to this corner of the city, and God gave us new life in the midst of the troubled waters. We made that movement in the 1990s when we declared ourselves a More Light church, welcoming all people, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered people, into our fellowship. I have seen it happen in the lives of people of this church who left behind the promise of a fat paycheck or a safe life to throw yourself into the raging waters that stand between us and racial equity, between us and justice for every child, between us and equitable development and healthcare for everyone and a fair city for everyone. We look to the past for the faith that girded those who have gone before us. We celebrate their generosity, their courage, and their faith. Faith that built a church that sees itself as God's movement people. A place that gives people what they need to cross on over, but we cannot look for their landmarks. We look for our own landmarks and the faith that calls a people to commit ourselves to the raging waters of our time, to commit our whole selves, our money, our time, our lives, to crossing on over. And maybe one day the people who come after us will remember the terrible waters that we had to cross in our time, the waters that look ridiculously dangerous, that threaten to consume every ounce of what is good. And maybe they will marvel at our crossing and the faith that led us into those waters. Faith of the God of crossings. Faith that is given to a movement people.